passion in every one of us to believe God for the miracles that God has for us. Okay, so last weekend I was actually in Bukit Mentajam. I was doing a wedding, did a couple of training for the church, and then I was able to minister at Bukit Mentajam Baptist Church, where today the pianist, which is Kuria, comes from that church, and Isabel, the one that stands in the middle, was actually the daughter of the pastor there, Pastor Vincent. Okay, so I was just delighted to be able to go to Bukit Mentajam and did a good job so that I get to eat the yam rice in Bukit Mentajam, okay? Well, this series is a little bit unique. So I look forward even for the dialogue for this series, because you have a chance to ask anything you want to ask about the church. And not that we have every answer, but I think one of our desire is to be as authentic as we can. We'll tell you our struggle. We'll tell you the things that we don't even know what to do, how to do, looking for the who to do. So we are in the midst of navigating all that. But the way to frame this series is as though I am the father of the house. Now, I know some of you are way older than me, and I wouldn't say way, okay? That sounded like very old, because I'm also very old already, okay? But some of you are a little bit more mature than me, okay? But this is how I imagine it to be. In my family, oftentimes I will come to every one of my kids and gather my family over a dinner, over a dessert, depending on the intensity of the conversation. The intensity is high, the food is better. Okay, but if it's go for mama, that means the intensity is very low, okay? But we will then chat about the household. We'll talk about things that needs to adjust a little bit, need to improve, and I'll tell them how I feel as a father. So this series was created a little bit with that in mind. So I want you to kind of scoop in and hear some of my heartbeat. So I want to begin by doing very three simple housekeeping, and then I'll move into the message. I know that when it comes to parking, it gets a bit congested nowadays. And a lot of people say, Pastor, we have to park very far. Pastor, we have to double park. We cannot find. We are trying to navigate this, okay? So we do not know how, but I do want to remind everybody, we want to park responsibly. Turn to your neighbor and say, park responsibly, okay? If we put a cone there, it means you cannot park. So some people move the cone a bit so they can park in. And you know why? That's because we want to respect all our neighbors. So we are building relationship with our neighbors, and we wanted to respect those who needed the space. So is that okay? So I hope every one of us just do that, okay? Second thing, we actually have a crash right in front for those who are 1 to 2 years. Okay, in fact, we have a toddler class 2 to 3 years at the other side, but we have a crash, and I know sometimes it gets full, and I know a lot of people want to experience the full service. So if it's really full, we do allow kids to come in, but can I request that those who have kids, they kind of be at the top part so that when kids get a bit restless, they can just exit there, settle them, and then come back in, okay? And we want to do that is because we wanted the best experience for everybody in the hall. So we just want you to take note of that. There's a crèche. There's also outside the foyer, or you can bring them in, but preferably at the top so that there are 2 exits for you to manage that. The last thing I want to mention is our service is 11 to 12:30. Everybody say 11 to 12:30. So when we end the service, actually, we didn't end the service. When we finish the sermon at about 12 or maybe 12:10, 12:15, we create a little bit time, sometimes for prayer, sometimes for dialogue. That's because we're trying to create a space where you get to wrestle with the message, the sermon, the thought, and you get to ask questions. So I want you to know the service has not ended. And that's the full experience that we hope we can grow the church with so that you can be able to grow with us. Okay, now in this series, we have entitled Reimagine. I like a quote that was said that reimagination is the birthplace for, would you say together, vision and change. When you think a little bit about where we are today, not as a church, where the world is today, it is really the result of, at some point, someone reimagined. So someone reimagined that we're able to fly. It's called the Wright brothers, and they were right. We're now able to fly. Alexander Graham Bell, who thought about how do we communicate rather than go to someone's house, created telephone. But it did not stop there. Someone reimagined, and eventually we had the iPhone today because there's this person called Steve Jobs who reimagined what it means to be able to just have a screen and just one click away or one press away for you to get to a certain thing that you wanted. And we are where we are today. There are so many things. It started because of reimagination. There was a book called The Story of Airbnb. I'm not too sure whether you read it, but if you read the synopsis of it, it was Brian and Joe who one day, because they were broke, and they thought about it, they imagined, what if we rented our air mattress? And it was actually to a particular creative conference of people, and they offered a little bit of tour. And that started Airbnb story, which today overseeded Marriott Hotel and the others. So every time when you reimagine, you write a new chapter of life, of your family, of your career, and equally as a church as well. So in this series, I'm trying to get every one of us to put on the reimagine hat and think, what if we were to reimagine church? And potentially we are able to write a chapter together. And that is a heartbeat. Now, to help us to think, reimagine church, how it is going to be, I kind of zoom into this particular verse. And I think this verse gives us a little bit of handles of how we are able to reimagine church to be if we think like a brother, a co-worker, and a soldier. Not just a brother. Because if you think just as a brother, you can think of, Pastor, we should, you know, everybody table should have a food. That shows the love for one another. Every day you come, there's someone who writes a card for you. But we are not just brothers. We are. We think like a brother. We feel like a brother. In fact, when I think about the space of a brother, I was reminded when we had our Wheaton cohort. That means we had about 7-8 nations come together. And you know, sometimes when nations come together, if we are not careful with language, it can be funny to us, it can be offensive to someone. Are you with me? And I still remember we were in a meeting, and then we were talking about culture. So I kind of blurted out, because we have some African friends, and then I said, African culture is Hakuna Matata. Okay, because we were told that, or at least, you know, if you watch cartoon, right, Hakuna Matata, the song is Sawi language, you know, it means there's no problem or whatever. And everybody laughed, including the African. And Pastor Sean, after that, said, hey, I don't know when we say that, will we offend our African friends? Because we kind of labeled their culture as such. And I said, oh my gosh, I thought it was funny, which everybody would laugh, right? So I quickly, immediately text my two South African cohort. I said, I'm apologize if Hakuna Matata wasn't the right phrase to describe your culture. I was just, you know, and they said, no, Pastor, let's chill. And then they said something which really reflect what it means to be brotherly love. They said, Pastor Tim, even if it's offensive, because we know you, we will never take it as offensive because you are family to us. Isn't that fantastic? And I thought about that. So if we were to think like a brother, so maybe what I said this morning about car park, about, you know, all that, some of you may think that, well, Pastor, you know, but it's not offensive because there's a space that we trust each other, we love each other, and we navigate through. But we're not just brother, we're also co-worker, okay? I'll come back to this verse a bit shortly. I'll come back to this verse shortly. So we kind of wanted a three lens to help you to put on the reimagined hat, which is if we think like a brother, we also think like a co-worker. That means a co-worker, people are people who share load. And today, that's my focus. Are people who potentially will look at another someone and they were carrying a behavior load and say, can I help you? people who potentially see, and it can come in so many forms. Maybe some of you who know people who really have to park their car very far, maybe we should start a car service where people drive around and to pick up those and then send them to church. I don't know, as we move around. You know, there's so many things that we can do the moment we put on the head of co-worker, where we actually get to share load. And then finally, we are fellow soldier, we share costs. Our cause is honor God and make disciples. That is something that beats in every one of our heartbeat, obviously. And that's why we exist. And I consistently wake up every morning and I go to bed thinking, how can we make disciples better? How does a disciple look like? What's our processes? What kind of conversation will bring someone? So I want that three little way to kind of gird the way we think as I invite every one of you to reimagine what church can look like, okay? Let me just go back a little bit and read this verse. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, which appears only two times in the Bible. But there's another guy by the name of Epaphras, which Paul wrote in the Philemon and a couple of different verses in the Bible, about three that he says, that's his fellow prisoner. So scholarly, it is quite clear they are both very distinct persons, though they sort of share the same name. So he only appears twice, which is in the book of Philippians. And then Paul says he is my brother, my co-worker and fellow soldier, which is what we're going to expound on it. But he's your messenger. So Paul distinguished, to you is just a messenger, for me, my brother. And not just my brother, he shared the load with me. And not just someone who shared the load, he fight the same battle as me. And whom you send to take care of my needs. With that, I want to continue by saying this. Can you imagine what every nation church looks like if all of us think like that? We have the same cause. We share the same load. And we learn how to share the same love. And I think this is hopefully what will kind of gird us as we work through this series. Okay, now co-worker. We'll talk about share load. Let me begin by saying that how many of you grew up in a family where you got to share load in a family? Okay, just about maybe 40 of you all. A lot of you grew up with the maid is the one that take all the load. I grew up in a family where we have to share load. So when I was very young, I got to wash the drain, wash all my siblings' shoes, water the plants in the morning, and also wash dinner at night. So I hope most of the time nobody have dinner. And that was my portion. The load increases when my elder sister went to USM for her, right? Because now 11, only three. The load increased even more when my elder brother went. The load increased more when she went off. So then all the load is upon me, okay? But I always wonder, you know, being the youngest, why am I have to do so much? But that's family. You understand the weight of sharing load, where everybody take on something to make the family functional. We do that with our family right now, though it's always a constant battle. Because to them it's clean, to my wife it's dirty. So the rule is until my wife says it's clean, then it's clean, okay? So if it's not, then continue to do it until you get it right, okay? But I realize as we talk about load sharing or being co-worker, I find that the moment when you are emotionally attached to something, it's easier for you to share load. Okay, let me just re-say that again. Whenever you're emotionally attached to something, it's easy to share load. Let me just read a text. This is from one of our church member whom the husband just passed away about 2 weeks ago. And so she texts me on Friday. He says, Pastor Tim, just want to say that I really am thankful for all the support, love that was given to me and my family during the past few weeks. Now that things have settled, my words of appreciation are not enough. I can say thank you a million times and it will not be enough to show how much it all meant for me and my husband. What can I do? What can I do to say thank you? Obviously, I have not caught up, but I can understand Whenever you are grateful to something, and for the church, there's a lot of room for improvement, but there's a lot of things that you can be grateful for. You can be grateful for the kids' church teachers who relentlessly. And I know that I met up with Jamie and Jimmy, the whole family, a couple of weeks ago, just to thank Jamie, who anchored for us the Cheras Church plan for almost a year while we are sorting out the church space, the kids' space. I'm grateful for all the musicians that comes every Sunday, 6:30 a.m., in order to prep for the Chinese service and for our English service, when most of us are seeking God, pretending to seek God. In fact, one of them, and I'm sure he's okay for me to mention his name, Alvin, I caught up with Alvin. Like one served in the kids' church, and Alvin, which is a fellow Arsenal fan, yay, we won last night, okay, who always sits here and he commands, tells people what to do. He says, Pastor, to help me to do a good job every Sunday when I'm on duty, I wake up at 3:30 a.m. in the morning. So that I exactly know how the drum's supposed to be, how the guitar's supposed to be, how everything's supposed to be. You know, whenever people tell me that, I feel for them. And I know some of you sitting here, you feel you something about you and say, boy, is there anything I can do? So actually, it's not a Bible thing. It is really a people thing. It is really the way God designed us to be. Which is why some of us feel more for certain. But when it comes to co-workers sharing load, and I think the feeling creates that desire to say, I can do something. You know, Jesus felt for us. And he wanted to take the load of sin that we have to carry. And there's no other way except he has to come and do it by himself. He can't do the most incredible presentation and fireworks and blew the whole world away and say, I want Jesus. He can't. Because the only way he can do it is to share the pain, the suffering of sin when he died on that cross. He didn't sneeze and die. If I'm Father God, I would say, just achoo. Oh. He did not. He went through that because he wanted to share the load of what you and I have to go through. So I want us to read through the entire passage. And I want you to highlight the amount of emotion that was at play in the passage that we just read, which is Paul writing to the Philippi church, who is one of his favorite church, who gave and always supported Paul. In fact, Paul oftentimes said that only you who stood with me. And because of Paul, he was in prison in Rome. So first of all, between Philippi to Rome is a huge, long distance. It would have taken weeks to get there. So for them, knowing Paul needed help, they sent Epaphroditus. Some evangelists say that he became the pastor of the Philippi church, which right now, I think if you go to those places, you have certain statue to kind of remember Epaphroditus, who he is. That's what archaeology seems to say. So they sent him to go there to help Paul. And in the midst of helping Paul, he fell sick. And then Paul wanted him to go back. And all this interchange of emotion helps you to understand why are they called a co-worker. So let me read. So I'll begin with Timothy, because it's kind of combined together, but we are not going to focus on Timothy, okay? So Paul says, I hope that I'm able to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. Can you imagine the feeling that Paul had? I really, the moment I hear about you, I'm so happy. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proven himself. That's why I called myself Timothy. Okay, just kidding. Because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to Epaphroditus. Now we go to Epaphroditus. My brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs, for he, come on, say together, longs. Can you see the emotion? I say, I really beta han. I I long, okay, for he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. The illness did not distress him. What distressed him was when they heard that he was ill and he heard that they heard that he was ill, he got distressed. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me. Spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I'm all the more eager to send him so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety, gladness, anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy. Honor people like him. We should think about that space, right? Gosh, every life group leader, everyone that serves week in, week out, I honor you. Those that have to put their, that serves in every capacity, we really honor you. And then he says, because he almost died for the work of Christ, that tells you a little bit about he sharing the cost, the battle that he has to fight. And we'll pick that up next weekend. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourself could not. Can you see the whole exchange of emotion? You got one extreme of gladness, anxiety, stress, sorrow, longing. You have everything. And you know what was most interesting for this passage was this. What was interesting was this. Paul feel for the church that has not seen Epaphroditus, and he feel for Epaphroditus who feel for the church that feels for him. Are you feeling it? Right? And the church feels for Paul, which is why they sent Epaphroditus. Right? And Paul feel for that. Epaphroditus feel for Paul, gave himself to serve Paul, and now he feel for the church and he longs for them. I mean, can you see the mixture of all this? That's why it's called co-worker. Co-worker doesn't work out 1, 2, 3. Co-worker, so can you imagine if they have a Zoom call? The church will be like, Paul, you need Epaphroditus. He better stay with you. Paul said, no. I think you haven't seen Epaphroditus for long, right? You need to go back. Paul, I think I need to. Yes, I know I long them, but I need to. Can you imagine the conversation that they have? That's why Paul says he wasn't just another messenger. He was a co-worker. He shared the load with me. You know you are sharing the load when you feel for, could you say the word together? The work and the worker. Not just the work, but you felt it. I know I feel a lot. I have a conversation with people and I can walk away and feeling, what can I do for them? Just to illustrate this whole thing, and I wanted to say that whenever you are at a spot, when you feel for the work and for the worker, you write a new chapter. And that's the most incredible thought I want to leave with you. So I'll tell you a story. So, end of 2020, this is 2023, right? So, end of 2021, our Cyberjaya Church, because of the pandemic, so many people left. We were dwindled down to less than two digit, but down to just one single digit. And the pastor that was pastoring needed to make a transition to go back to the marketplace, and we didn't know what to do. The recommendation from everybody by then was we should close down the church. So it came to my table, obviously, and I prayed about it. I felt for the work. I will never forget when we first planted the church 7 years ago, the first service, an entire Syrian family gave their life to Jesus, and they were refugees. And as I was praying, I felt God brought that back, and I had the entire emotion of God, I really do not want to close down, though everything tells me I should close down the church. We've got so many challenges. So I went back to the team, which is only, honestly, is about 4 or 5 of them, and I met with the team, which is very scattered already. I said, I don't want to close down, but would you help me to rebuild the church space? You know, how many of you know that the load that I have to carry, just for the senior pastor, the region, everything and all that, it's not small. That's why Arsenal must win. Just kidding. And I felt for the word. I felt for the work. So I took it upon myself and tried to re-navigate for about a year. And it's a difficult space. I must try to rebuild. We got location problem. We got cultural issue. We got just different things. Somewhere along the journey, I shared it with the pastoral team. I said, I think we really needed a pastor to be able to do that. So in that journey, this year, it was Pastor Agape and Matt who, during their prayer and fasting, God spoke to them very clearly. And the way they described to me was they had a piece of paper where both of them prayed separately and they were trying to discern what God is saying to them. And both of them wrote in the same piece of paper, Cyberjaya. And they came to me and says, Pastor, I think we will take the load for Cyberjaya. So they took on the load for Cyberjaya. So right now, Pastor Agape, beside doing Kids Church, she has also taken on the load for that. Now, in that little space, I feel for the Kids Church that they were needing to navigate through, because we have like 200 over kids. And once we take on to the other church plant, all that, the load increases. I'm saying all of that to say that every time when you feel for both the work and the worker, you have the greatest opportunity with reimagination to write a new chapter. Can I go get amen? And it takes that little bit. Now, so I want to kind of end by the two things that we felt in this season of our church life. First is the cost of young families, okay? And you can scan this a bit later. But I'm just sharing with you some of the load that we're trying to carry. And if any one of you could say that, Pastor, I feel the load. Let me do what I can to help out. So during MCO, the story started with during MCO, I kind of helped a young family to be part of our church. And, you know, being new, they go according to the script. They went to join the life group on Zoom. After about 1.5 months, the wife is the one that highlighted to me, says, Pastor, I don't want to join the Zoom already, because the Zoom is family Zoom, but as only all guys are there only. And they talk about football. And football and what else? I can't recall. Football and Pokemon or whatever, like, okay? Sorry? Star Wars, that's right. Football and Star Wars, okay? They only talk about football and Star Wars. So he says, no Barbie doll. And I'm just kidding, okay? So he says, I can't. And then I kind of move into the young family leader space and say, Pastor, it's really tough, MCO. So the kids have to take care. The wife has to take care of the kids. So only the men can huddle together. So we did a little bit of a tweak. There's a woman, wife huddle. There's a man's huddle. Men take care of kids, you know, just to cope with that. But in that journey, every time there's an opening space, I met up with different young families leaders. I just met up with them. And somehow, this entire burden of taking care of kids become stressful. They got to work. They got to, you know what I'm saying? Now, I know some of you older generation will come up and say that, hey, you know, I got 4, right? Piece of cake for me. Well, now we can say everything and anything, okay? But some of us have made, some of us have. So I know that it's a different one. It's a different, and kids also have evolved. Kids 2 years old think like 8 years old during my time, okay? They're so smart. And so I do know that, but I feel for their pain. So what we did was, we then make every second Sunday every month, where we create the space for only young families. We are encouraging as many young families life group to meet on second Sunday. And the best part was, we provide childcare so that adults can have good conversation. So a lot of the young families like it. Say, oh, Pastor, thank you so much. Okay, so we got. So the first year, I gotten all the working adults to take turn to volunteer. And thus far, every child survived. Every working adult survived. It wasn't a bloody night. It was a peaceful night, okay? If you know the game that you play, right? Anyway, and just to kind of move forward, so this year we wanted to do that. So we are sort of in need because of the weight of all this. The kids' church could not bear it. We're just opening up for... If you... Some of you love grandchildren. The grandchildren hasn't arrived. You can practice. So you can actually do the screen and maybe just... I can't do for May, but I can do for June. And then you can sign up. And then you're available to serve the young families so that they can have great adults conversation. Not only that. The other thing that we found out about them was they just have no marriage time. So a lot of young families has very tense conversation, lots of fights. Some of them was really intense. We have decided also to take another step forward, though we are still in the formation stage, that once a month we are able to help with maybe engaging a childcare center where all the young families can put their kids there so that they can have marriage time. Now, some of you would say, Pastor, what about me? I'm no longer a young family. How come you never think about me? No. Okay. You know, it is this season that I think is very obvious that if we can all just rally around and cheer the young families, and I think it will mean a lot for them and their marriage. So we are making that available if you want to be a part of it and say, Pastor, I can help. I can help for this. Again, that is sharing load. Now, we have many areas to serve in this church, and you can go to many different areas, okay? Go with whatever that's closest to your heart. My last thought is a possible Saturday service. I know we are running out of space, or the space is filling up, and I think we still got a very healthy bunch of people online watching us. So the only way to think is not to think of another service per se. The only way to think is to think bigger. So in my heart, I think Saturday evening service can totally reach a different crowd of people. There are a lot of people who doesn't know God who would think that Sunday is a day I stay at home. And Saturday can potentially be a space for people who do not know God to actually encounter God. So I am very clear that if we do not have enough volunteers, I won't go that route. So which is why I wanted to do a little survey that if you are willing to build a Saturday service, when I say a Saturday service means a full-fledged service where there is kids' church, there is teens, there's everything, so that we are able to potentially write a new chapter and reach more people. So if you are sitting here, you can say, you know, Pastor, I can. I'm willing to change. Then maybe you can sign up. And you can help us together to dream and to reimagine. Because every time you think like a brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, you have the greatest opportunity to rewrite a new chapter. Now, I want to end by this. The second time Epaphroditus was mentioned is Philippians 4. And this is how Paul says it. He says, I've received full payment and have more than enough. I'm amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. Would you read together? They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. I thought about this. I thought about what if? What if some of us say, hey, you know what, Pastor? I'm on Saturday, I'll do it. And then you kind of shift your schedule and you come for Saturday and you are there to serve. You know, the day will come when we get to meet God and I think God will say, that was really nice. That was a fragrant offering. Thank you for your sacrifice. It really pleases my heart. I thought about that. I thought about if every one of us can think and feel and share the load. Everything that we do, it can be an aroma and an offering and pleasing unto God. Can I good amen?